How's everybody feeling? Awesome. Hey, if you have your scriptures, just turn to Acts chapter 8 real quick. Acts chapter 8, and you can just hold your place there. It's good to give me 1 second while I situate this. You know what? I'm going to stay over here. Tess, it's good. It's good. Always good to be here at Kenilworth. One of the brothers mentioned, he said, every time you come here, you have another kid. And I'm like, yes, we probably got to stay away from this church or something like that. Maybe there's something in this church. I don't know. My family's here. We added a fifth child to our growing tribe. Name is Faith Yoheved Sanchez. So that's our fifth. She's kind of right there. Maybe you want to throw up like Simba from Lion King. So that's number five. Number four is Selah Sanchez. She just went with the other group. So we have four in Selah. Three is Philip. Yeah, I'm naming them, right? I'm giving them numbers, right? That's crazy when you start giving your kids numbers. Number three is Philip. Two is Eliana. So she is six and started kindergarten. And then our oldest is Jeremiah. So he's 7 years old. And he's full of energy. Full of energy. I think on Friday night we had a long day. We had Awana on Friday, and they were playing soccer after Awana, then after Bible study. And we got home, he was still up. I'm like, man, where do you get all this energy from? And then I remembered that I was once a little boy full of energy, and that was me. So good to be here. I got my wife, Marilette. She and I just celebrated 8 years of marriage, 8 years and five kids. So does that mean 16 years and 10 kids or something like that? I don't know. So in the car, we were coming up here in the car, she goes, you know, I never know what you're going to say up front. I'm always like nervous when you start talking about me. You're going to say something embarrassing. So I have nothing embarrassing to say, nothing silly. But the other day we text each other kind of a similar message. We're like, we need to get away. We need some time away from the kids, you know, and having five kids, for those that, you know, have children, you know, the challenges of trying to still date your wife. And when you're in ministry, there's just all these, you get pulled in so many directions, and it's important, you know, we realize it's important to prioritize our marriage. And so, we welcome your prayers for that. We also, if you have any advice, right, some of you guys have walked further down the road than we are. And so I welcome any like little, you know, quick advice that you guys have. So anybody afterwards, please give us some advice. So again, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 8 for our time this morning. And before we jump into that, you know, I just love to give a quick update about, you know, our ministry. Many of you guys, you know, pray for us regularly. Just this morning, the brother read briefly an update. And, you know, I just want to share kind of quickly what we're doing with the ministry. And then we'll read the passage, and then we'll pray. So, again, Marilyn and I, we are missionaries with Crew, and we are doing work with the teenagers in New York City. And it was funny, this past Friday, we have something in the afternoons at Evergreen from 3 to 5. We just call it the center. We want to create a space in the community and through the church where kids and families can come and hang. It's a safe space. We can talk about life. We can talk about God. And so we had, you know, basketball gym. The gym was open, basketball. And these three young kids, they were probably, one was in fifth grade. I think one was in sixth, and the other one was in eighth grade. They were hanging out. And then afterwards, right after at 5 o'clock, we start Awana at 5:30. So there's this 30-minute gap. And I say, hey, why don't you guys stick around for Awana? And so these three kids decide to stick around for Awana. And in my mind, I'm like, man, these are kids right off the street. Like, they're not really church kids. Like, what is going to be their experience with Awana? You know, Awana, it's pretty structured. It's, you know, very, very structured. And so afterwards, I went up to them. I said, all right, guys, tell me the honest truth. What did you think about Awana? And they're like, we loved it. And so I was like, oh, that's amazing. It's cool just to see kids who get connected, you know, through a ministry, but then also get plugged into the local church. And so that's exciting. So we welcome your prayers for that as we continue to create a space through Evergreen Gospel Chapel for kids to come, hang, learn about Jesus, but then also get plugged into the church. Additionally, Marilyn and I, we are kind of putting our feet into another ministry within Crew. It's called Family Life. Have anybody heard of Family Life? No. All right. Well, it's a marriage and kind of family ministry, and so we're kind of beginning to give a little bit of hours to that. And some people ask us, like, why are you guys doing that? Well, here's a quick story that I'll share that kind of gives one of the reasons and motivations for kind of stepping into that world as well. Last year, around this time, I was at the park, and I was talking to a few high school students about Jesus. And this one kid, and some of you guys may have heard this story, but one kid kind of walked in front of me, and he kind of looked at me as if he knew me and gave me a nod. And I'm like, so I nod back, you know, just because I want to make sure. He nodded at me, so maybe I know him, so let me nod back. So I nodded back, and then I'm like, man, who is this kid? I don't know who he is, but he obviously knows me. I'm not really sure who he is. But then after, he's like, hey, man, like, are you guys doing basketball tournaments anymore? And I'm like, oh, okay, that's where it was. I met this kid at a basketball tournament years ago. He was he got involved at this basketball tournament, and now he's in his early 20s. And so we're talking, and we're catching up on life, and he's like, yeah, I'm not really doing well right now. I'm like, what's going on? He begins to share about how he and his girlfriend just gave birth to their first child. But he and his girlfriend are separated. And he even shared, he's like, man, I can't stand the girl. I can't stand the lady. Like, I don't even want to be near her. He goes, I'm trying to find work. And he's just like, I'm just struggling. And so here's a young man in his early 20s who I first met, you know, at a basketball tournament when he was like maybe 14 or 15 years old, right, working with high school students. And now he's in his young adults, you know, trying to thrive as a man but struggling, right? Just brought a new baby into the world and struggling. And so I think for Marilette and I, it's like, hey, we see these patterns, right? Like, the family is important. If we can build strong and healthy marriages and healthy families, like, in many ways, you don't need a youth worker. You don't need a youth pastor. Right, you don't need a youth leader. If you can equip mom and dad, and build strong families, man, what kind of glory can that bring to the Lord? And so again, we're kind of venturing into that. So we welcome your prayers for that, and we do want to say thank you for how often you guys do pray for us and the support you guys give us. It's a blessing. So, Acts chapter 8. Let's go ahead and look there. We'll start at verse 4, and then we'll skip down to verse 26. After we read a few verses, and then we'll read to the end of Acts chapter 8, and then I'll pray for us. Acts chapter 8, and starting at verse 4. It says, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them in Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip, when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Let's skip down to verse 26 of chapter 8. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, churning and seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can ascribe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Verse 34, and the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does a prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see here the water? What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we get to look at your word this morning. God, really the privilege to do this and not fear for our lives. You know, not have to do this in secret, but we can do this in open. So open, I guess. That's what I'm saying. So Lord, we thank you for this topic that we're going to look at, for this passage we're going to, just wrestle with a little bit. And Lord, I want to pray for the saints here that you would speak to each one individually, Lord. Father God, that you would challenge the areas in their lives that needs to be challenged. And God, that ultimately, Lord, it would be about bringing you glory and bringing you honor. God, you must increase. We must decrease. More of you, less of us. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we kind of jump into this passage and look at a kind of through, I want to look at it through a lens of sort of initiative evangelism. But before we do that, I have just a few sort of, I guess you can call them important rabbit trails, right? Sometimes we have rabbit trails, but these are important rabbit trails. The first one is I don't really feel like I have any authority to speak on this topic. Okay, yes, we're missionaries with Crew. We kind of do this in a sense. This is what we do full time, right? But in so many ways, I realized, man, like there are so much insecurities that I still wrestle with whenever I have to take the initiative to talk to someone about Jesus. There's always this sense of like, man, what if they ask a question that I don't have an answer to? Or what if they're hostile? Like what if they're just disrespectful and mean? Like how is that gonna feel? All right. So there's just all these insecurities that can bubble up whenever we're talking about this topic of witnessing or initiative evangelism. And so I just want to acknowledge that. And it's okay to lay that out there. But you know, Jesus wants our availability, right? He's like, hey, come on to me, right? He wants our availability. So just real quick, I guess I'll ask a question for you guys. Like on a scale from 1 to 10, and you could just throw up your fingers, all right? Scale from 1 to 10. I'm going to be a little bit interactive this morning, all right? I'm from New York. We are loud. And we're good drivers. I'm not going to say Jersey people. No, that would be disrespectful. on a scale from 1 to 10, how motivated are you to kind of share the gospel with someone else? So 10 being like, I am super motivated, I will do this right now, I will run out of this door and do that. Like that's 10. And 0 or 1 is more like, I'm scared. I would rather, you know, close my eyes and just kind of, you know, get into a fetal position or something like that, right? So that's 1. 10, motivated, highly motivated. 1 is like, I'm not. So just real quick, when I go 1, 2, 3, I want you guys to throw up your hands, all right, on a scale from 1 to 10. So how motivated are you to kind of share the gospel with others? Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right. Keep them up. For someone, now you can put them down. For someone that gave a high number, I didn't see everybody, but for someone who gave a high number, why? Why did you give a high number? Tell me a little bit about that. Would you be so brave? I don't got any brave body in here. Come on. All right. This is going to be a tough crowd this morning. Tough crowd, all right? I'll flip the question. And this is, you can just popcorn this out. Again, a little bit of the feel of this message is going to be interactive. I know that might be different than maybe from what you're used to? No, you guys are, I don't know how you do it here. So I feel like one of my strengths is not necessarily a preacher or a teacher, but I'm a facilitator. And I love to facilitate conversations. And I love to facilitate discussions. So I'm going to try to utilize that gift, or not gift, desire, whatever you call it, as we talk this morning. So here's this question. What are some thoughts or emotions that come to your mind when you think about talking to someone else about Jesus? Let's just kind of throw that out. Whatever, first thing that comes to your mind. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that scripture, God's word will not return void, will not come back void. So that's something that comes to the front of your mind when you think about talking to someone about Christ. What are the thoughts? Thoughts, emotions, anything? Yeah.
Just how to, I guess, turn a conversation more towards the gospel.
Yeah.
Jesus' example, he would ask a question and may not at first see where he was going with it, and all of a sudden he had a purpose behind it.
Yeah.
How do you
turn the conversation? You're talking about something, and maybe this is a perfect opportunity to make an adjustment and to bring up something spiritual. But it's like, how do you do that, right? And for some people, like, there's like, oh my goodness, this is my opportunity. Oh my goodness, and you just kind of back down, right? For some of us, they're just like, I don't even want to go there, right? So one more response. Like, what are some thoughts back there? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, how many of you guys can relate with that? My brother said, I feel a hostile rejection. All right? There's some truth to that. Yeah. Yeah. There's a ton of different thoughts, a ton of different ideas, a ton of different emotions that come to our mind. You have someone else? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's the sense of sort of like, what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me, right? But then what if my truth says your truth is a lie? Is it really true? No, just that's something to think about. But yeah, there's the sense of, you know, relativism. We deal with that in our society, and it seeps into the church as well. So again, there's a ton of different things we can think about as we think about this topic of evangelism. And as I mentioned again, I'm gonna be somewhat interactive as much as I can in light of my time. But also, as we look at this passage, I want to look at it more from like a principle-based thing. I'm not going to give you specific like how-tos on to turn a conversation towards spiritual matters. That's not really the feel of this message. It's more like, hey, let's look at Philip's interaction with the Ethiopian eunuch, and let's just see if there's some things that we can glean. Like, what are some things that we see here that happen in this passage that we can begin? Think about a bridge that we can take this bridge over here to 2019. And so looking at it from very sort of a practical, applicable side of things. Yes, my brother. Exactly. Exactly.
I'd like
to know for myself when
people
or blind or just when not to. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's so. And you got a little ahead of me, which is great. I love it. You're kind of pushing me along, but I think what I heard you say is the sense of like, hey, when do I even present when do I even do that, right? So that's a great question. Maybe I'll answer tonight, today. Maybe I won't. We'll see. So so go ahead. Let's look at this passage. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. And again, just for some context, the purpose of Acts, it's all about the growth of the church, the gospel going forth. In Acts 1, chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, we see that. So let's look there real quick, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. It gives us sort of the outline. It gives us sort of the structure of the book of Acts. It gives us sort of the purpose of the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 1 verse 6, it says, So when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in where? Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so that's sort of a geographical expansion that is outlined in verse 8 that really characterizes the rest of the book of Acts, right? Verses, chapters 1 through 7 is in Jerusalem. Chapters 8 through 10, Samaria and Judea. And then chapters 11 to 28, to the ends of the earth. And so we see the gospel going forth in the book of Acts. And so it's fitting that as we look at chapter 8 and Philip's interaction with the Ethiopian eunuch, we see the gospel going forth. We see the gospel going forth. And it's interesting, Philip, what do we know about Philip? What is his ethnicity or his nationality? What is he? Well, let me ask you a yes or no question. Is he a Jew? The answer is no. All right. He is going to, we already see that he has a successful ministry in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, where he's in Samaria. So let's turn there real quick, chapter 8. Go back to chapter 8. He was proclaiming Christ in Samaria, right? And there's sort of this great reception of him. There's people being healed. There's the paralyzed and the lame are healed. And then verse 8 of chapter 8, it says, so there was much joy in that city. So Philip, as a Gentile, he's preaching the gospel to Samaritans. And what do we know about Jews and Samaritans? They don't get along, right? Samaritans are considered half-breeds, right? They don't get along. And so, but we see that the gospel itself, it breaks across racial or ethnicity barriers, so to speak. It goes across different ethnicities, right? It's not just for the Jews. It's also for the Samaritans. And again, now we're introduced to an Ethiopian eunuch, right? It goes even further. And so I think we need to keep that in mind and just that context as we look at this passage. Here's a question that real quick, I'm going to throw it out there. Let's see if you guys are going to rock, like we say in the hood, you're going to rock with me, all right? That's a slang term. Are you guys going to rock with me tonight, this morning, all right? In chapter 8, we see, again, the gospel going forth. But the question I want to ask you guys, why do we even offer the gospel? Why do we do that as believers? Why do we offer the gospel? Yes. Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Excellent. Any other thoughts? Why do we offer the gospel? Jesus told us to. Excellent. Jesus told us to. The Great Commission. What does it say? Go ye into all the world. What? And to preach the gospel. Right? Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. If you don't, you keep your hand in Acts chapter 8. But Matthew chapter 28, Jesus commands us to with the Great Commission. All right, Matthew chapter 28, it says in verses 18 to 20, and Jesus came and said unto them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The gospel, it is a power of salvation. Jesus commands us to. But I think the last point that I want to just mention real quick, God is at work. God is at work. And God is preparing people's hearts. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God is at work and that he's preparing people's hearts? Remember years ago with Johnny Hayes when we were just single. We didn't have, we weren't married, didn't have kids. But he and I went to Herald Square in New York City. And we went up to people randomly to initiate a spiritual conversation. I remember one guy sitting down and he said, you have no idea that I'm literally sitting here and I'm wrestling and I'm thinking through life and death and I'm thinking through God and all these things. He goes, how timely this conversation is. How timely this conversation is. God is preparing people's hearts. And that's one of the reasons why we share the gospel, because God is preparing people's hearts. right? Greg this morning talked about his neighbor that said, can you pray for my, I think, his relative that he lost, right? And Greg was, you know, Greg gave him the truth. But even a situation like that, God is maybe can use that and is preparing that person's heart. We don't know. We don't know the full outcome of Greg's conversation with that neighbor. But God is preparing people's hearts, and that is why we share the gospel. And we see this happening in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch, right? Here's the Ethiopian eunuch who is the court official of Candace. She's the queen of Ethiopians, and he's in charge of all her treasure. And why did he come to Jerusalem? To do what? To do what? To worship. To worship, right? He came to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way back, what is he reading? What scroll? What passage is he reading? Isaiah, right? And as my brother mentioned earlier, the Spirit spoke to Philip. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. The Spirit is at work. The Spirit was directing Philip. Even though Philip, as we saw in the first four verses, he had a very successful ministry. The lame were being healed. The paralyzed were being healed. The city was rejoicing. Philip listened to the Lord, and he went to a desert place. He went to a desert place. And as we read this passage, I want to read it again. And as we read this passage, I want us to think about this question. What are some principles, or what are some lessons you see when you look at it through the lens of initiative evangelism? Okay? What are some principles or lessons you see when you look at it through the lens of initiative evangelism? So let's go ahead and read it one more time. I'm going to read it slow, but keep that in mind. And then again, I'm going to do my best to interact with you guys. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, it says, now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. Verse 27, and he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning and seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does a prophet say this about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, so here is the water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And we know the rest of the story. Philip's taken away, and he continues going on preaching the gospel. Let's take a few minutes, and we'll interact over this question. As you reread this passage, for those of us who are Bible scholars in here, right? I got a brother over here. I told him he should be a preacher. As you probably have wrestled with this passage in your own studies, you've read it before. What are some principles or some lessons that you see when we look at it through the lens of like initiative evangelism, where you take the step to interact with someone? Any quick thoughts that come to you? I have a list, so I'm ready to talk on them if I have. But what are some initial thoughts that come to your guys' mind? When you hear God tells you to go, go, right? Like, right? If you hear that voice, you better go, right? So there's a sense the Spirit's leading. We see this in evangelism. The Spirit is at work. Okay? I've already hit on that point. Any other? Pray. Say that again. Pray. Where do you see that at exactly? That is true. We should pray. And I'm going to touch on that at the very end. But specifically in the passage, I want our questions and our answers to kind of derive from the passage itself. If I had like a gold star, I would give you a gold star. Yeah. So where exactly do you see that? Because you're right. But where exactly do you see that in Acts chapter 8? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So there is a part where knowing the scriptures, right? I mean, it's obvious, but being able to know the scriptures, and as you said, Philip, he knew it. He knew the scriptures, and he was able to explain the gospel to him via the scriptures. So we have following the Spirit's leading. We have the importance of the scripture and being able to know the word. Any other things you guys see here? Yes, and then. Yeah. That's true. There's a fear there with that, right? It's like, okay, God, I want to know. Even like when I preach this message, preparing this message, I'm like, but I want to know what I'm going to say at this point. And it's like, can I just trust the Lord? Can I just trust the Lord?
Going back to that fear, Jesus said, the world hated me before it hated you.
Exactly.
So
when you have that perspective, it's like, man, they rejected Jesus. Like, of course, I can expect to be rejected as well. But there is a sense of trusting the Lord in that moment. You know, think about, Spirit told him to go to this place, to Gaza. Like, I don't know if Philip was thinking in his head. I mean, I'm reading into this, but I wonder what Philip was thinking. Like, God, I'm already here doing, there's successful ministry happening here. Like, why might you, why? But Spirit trusted, but Philip trusted and he still went. Yeah. Now we're moving this morning. I'm gonna have to close up soon because if not, they won't invite me back to Kenilworth. Yeah, my brother. Yeah.
Just to preach where we are. Philip was apparently preaching, and then they got dispersed, and he's preaching in Samaria, and then God doesn't go here, he preaches there.
Yeah.
And then it says he appears at the next place, and he starts immediately preaching.
Yeah, yeah.
Wherever you are.
He was preaching.
That was it.
Yeah. That's good. Any other principles, any other thoughts? And then I have a few that I'll share with you guys, and then we'll begin to kind of wrap this up. Yes, I see you. You.
The focus
was on Jesus. How so? Yeah. And you're right on, verse 35, right? You're right on. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scriptures, again, he told him the good news about who? About Jesus. The good news about Jesus. He was able to connect the scripture in Isaiah to the good news about Jesus. Well, let me share a few things just to kind of wrap us up. The first thing that I want to bring to your attention is look at verse 30. So Philip, he runs to him. Let's just stop there. Philip ran. Like, what would make someone run? I don't know. Maybe there's excitement. I don't know. I remember we did one Sunday. Instead of having class like this, I said, we're going to go out into the neighborhood and we're going to go talk to people about Jesus. And we did that. And I remember the kids in middle school, sixth grade, fifth grade, and fourth grade. These kids were so excited to go up to people and to initiate a conversation. They ran ahead of the older adults. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's excitement there. But Philip runs to the chariot. And we continue reading that verse. What does Philip also do? He goes over, he hears what's being said, and he at the very end of verse 30, it says, do you understand what you are reading? What is that? It's initiation through what? Through a question. The power of questions. The power of questions. So oftentimes we, as believers, we feel like we have to have the exact words and the exact message, but could we facilitate with a question? Could we ask a question? Remember, this is a random time. I'm on the train, sitting next to this guy, and I'm like, hey, dude, I know this is like really random. New Yorkers don't talk to each other, right? We have our space. And I said, do you think there's like such thing as like absolute truth? And I just like asked a who only Moses would do something crazy like that, but who would ask a random question like that, right? And again, I asked a question, and kid you not, I'm not joking. This guy said, I'm literally thinking about some of that stuff right now. Kid you not? And I mean, I had to get off like the next stop or two, but we didn't have a long conversation. But just asking a question. Last year, I was with a group of high school students, and one of them were talking about smoking weed, and I was more the coach, helping the college students who do this mentoring program with the high school students. And so I didn't really want to jump in, and I wouldn't really want the college students to interact with them. I didn't want to be the one doing all the talking. But I was like, man, these college students, this is a great opportunity to talk about Jesus. Weed and Jesus, how do you even do that? And they didn't do it. So I was like, hey, I'm going to jump in. And I said, hey, can I ask you a question? Help me understand, why are you smoking weed, the high school student? Well, I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of stuff going on at home. And like, okay, so you're using it as an escape. Yes or no, but there's just so much going on. I was like, can I share a story with you? I said, there's a story about a lady in the Bible who had an issue with blood. And for years, she tried to get this problem solved. And she went to this doctor, and she went to that doctor, she went to this doctor, but she couldn't get the issue solved. She heard about Jesus coming through a town. And she goes, I need to go to him. And she went. She touched the hem of his garment. And by her faith, she was made whole. I was like, have you ever thought about turning to God with your issues? Instead of turning to weed? And in that moment, I was able to model to these high school students, to these college students, how to ask a question and how to shift the conversations towards spiritual matters. The power of questions. The power of questions. Ask questions as we initiate with folks. Give some of the people to think about, chew on. Follow the Spirit's leading. Point people to Jesus. Talk to people about Jesus with the importance of the gospel, rooted in the gospel. Running the sense of excitement. But here's the last thing that I'm gonna share with you guys. And I'm going to look at verse 26. Let's start back at verse 26. It says, now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go. If you guys, missed anything this morning, don't miss this. Rise and go. Rise and go. Who in your circle? Who in your neighborhood? Who in your relational circle, your family, you need to rise and you need to go. And you need to initiate. You may not do it perfectly. You may mumble through your words. You may forget your question. But you're going to rise and you're going to go. You know what? This is, I can't verify this. I'm sure I can verify it. Look at Bonner Research. But I believe the body of Christ is deeply suffering in the area of evangelism. We've gotten too comfortable with doing church like this. And I'm not trying to speak for this church. I don't know the realities of everything here. But we need to be out. We need to be out in the communities. We need to be out in our neighborhoods. We need to be out in our families. We need to rise and we need to go. And we need to talk and share the good news, the gospel, to those around us. I mean, there are marriages that are suffering. Maybe even in this church. There are people that are dealing with a whole bunch of mental issues, depression, anxiety. And we have the good news. We got to rise and we got to go as believers. That is part of our responsibility. And we shouldn't do it from a place of shame or a place of, guilt. Do it because you love Jesus. Do it out of motivation of love. And if you're struggling with that, my encouragement, start praying. Start praying. God, just give me the opportunity. Increase my love. I pray that prayer often. God, increase my love for the lost. I'm a missionary, and I still got to pray that prayer. Because you can get so comfortable. America's so comfortable. But I believe God is asking us to rise and to go. To rise and go. And you may be here this morning and you know what? I don't know. Again, I don't know everybody in this church. I don't know the realities of everything that's in this church. And this may be your first time you're stepping back into a church. Maybe you're still figuring this whole God thing out, right? You have questions still. And I believe the word for you is rise and come. Rise and come to Jesus. Rise and come to the Lord. And lay your burdens and acknowledge your need for him. And let Christ into your life. Two final thoughts. Again, to the believers, rise and go. And to that unbeliever, that person who's, you know what, you haven't surrendered your life. You need to rise and come to Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning, and thank you for the saints here, and thank you for your word. And Lord, it's always timely, as you know, my sister mentioned this morning, that your word does not return void. And so we thank you that you're at work. And I do pray for the assembly here at Kenilworth. God, I thank you for the leadership for so many years, and God, just their commitments even to excellence. I feel like, man, they're so organized, and I thank you for that. And I do pray for their desire. I know it's their desire as well to see unbelievers become believers, to see Sauls become Pauls, to see the gospel go forth in this community. So God, would you bless those efforts? Whatever that looks like, you know it. Would you strengthen and encourage the saints that maybe, Lord, they need that little extra push, whatever it is, Lord. God, you know what it is. And so we pray that you would use this message for the furtherance of your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.